Hey, it's the Daniel Cortez Show. We got Gold Toes in the studio. Let's go.
What's happening?
Let's make some noise. Okay, welcome. How you doing?
I'm good. It's early.
You said, what'd you say when you walked in here?
What you mean?
Because I said, did you want to get up this early?
And I said, what?
You said, I didn't know if I was going to make it.
Oh, no. Yeah, no. Because last night I was out. I just got back from Cancun. I was in Cancun, then went to L.A., and then from L.A. up to the Bay, and then I had to come from the Bay to Phoenix.
What?
And I was like, man, in the time zones, it'll get you going. You know what I'm saying?
But you know what? You were here early. And I appreciate that. You know, sometimes people roll in late. That's a businessman right there.
I was in the military, too, so I know.
What branch of the military?
U.S. Army. 12 Okay.
So you know how to make it bad. You know how to get up early.
You still shine your shoes?
Everything's clean. I got OCD, you know.
Yeah. So you're always on time. Let's talk about the longevity of your career. I also want to, you asked me, how do you know me? And I was just honest 100. You threw Jenny 6ix9ine on a Bay Area Flavor song.
Right.
And I was like, oh my gosh, you know, always known about you. I mean, but that kind of changed my perception. I don't know if that makes sense or not, but I felt like there was like a female vibe to that song. Why'd you decide to throw her on there?
Well, because
too short. Respect, by the way, but you know.
No. Honestly, I have an artist of mine, Gabriella. She's a Tejano artist out of Texas, and we were talking about Jenny, and she was like, "Man, why does everybody don't like Jenny?" I'm like, "Man, I like Jenny." She was like, "I like Jenny too," and at that time, I was listening to the song "Barrier of Flavors." It was already made. I already had that song about a year. It was already done. It was already out on all platforms a year ago, and but there was something missing to the song, and I was like, you know what? I bet you she would sound dope on this song. And
you were right.
I said, that was my ear. And I was like, so I sent it to her. And I said, hey, I want you to jump on this song. She was like, you want me to jump on a Too Short song? I said, yes. I said, try it out. Jump on a song. And she jumped on it. And like 2 weeks later, she put it up on her IG with her rapping, and she sent it to me. And I'm like, man, that's it. Go, you don't have to do nothing else. Go lay that down. Make that happen right there.
So did she write the rhyme, or did somebody help her? I got to ask these questions.
I believe she got some help.
Okay, that's all right. I don't care.
No, some of the best artists got writers.
Jay-Z wrote for Dr. Dre. Let's not forget that.
Yeah. You know, even the Wake Up song, Lil Uno wrote it for me.
Yes, okay.
Okay.
You know?
I don't know.
And he produced the beat.
So why do you think, and we were kind of talking off air, why do you think these girls and stuff, why are they hating on Jenny?
Because
you've had to go through a lot of that, I'm sure, coming up. And, you know, people like kind of angry that you're
just showing who you are and doing it in front of everybody and not being scared. I think people, who knows why people hate, man.
I wish we could get more unity.
It says more about them than it does about
them. But I wish, especially in our culture, we could come together more. I think we would be so much stronger. I think it might be a mentality thing where, if they're successful, they're going to take that away from me. And that's just not the case.
Right.
The more successful our people are, the more successful women are, and all of the above, we all come together and do better.
And that's why, like, in my job as a CEO, I love pushing artists and getting them pushing their dreams and getting them through. You know, I damn near feel like I'm a psychologist sometimes. You know what I'm saying? I'm a therapist. Like,
working
I'm
with entertainers.
I'm dealing with so many different artists. I run a distribution company, so I got over 7,000 artists signed to me.
Oh, my gosh.
But not only that, I communicate with everybody. And, like, you know, my staff, we make time to listen to people. A lot of people just want to be heard, kind of told what to do. And have somebody to talk to
about
the business. Guidance, definitely.
Expand on that. What do you mean you have 7,000? Explain the distribution deal you got going on here.
So distribution meaning, like, you know, you have TuneCores and DistroKids, but then you got GT Distribution.
Okay.
But my company is not just like where you're just going to a computer signing up. You actually got real people talking to you.
Oh, wow.
And we're dealing
actually
with you.
Actually pushing your records. Actually,
right. Yeah. You know, we're not pushing the records, but pushing the label with information or the artist with information on how to push their records.
Their project. Yeah.
Their projects or their
sales. Because a lot of artists don't know. People don't know, how do I get in? How do I make it work? How do I get in here for an interview?
Yes. Like, who do you know? Like, we utilize, I've been in the game, you know, 30 years, so I got resources. Okay, you have a budget. Okay, I know what to do with it. I know who you can go work with. I know that these people are good and they're going to benefit you and they're going to do a good job because I've already worked with them.
Let's talk about the longevity. What's the key? It's been 30 years.
Consistency and not giving up.
Okay.
Not giving up a consistency. You got to believe in yourself. You got to be consistent, though. You got to keep going.
Have there been times where you thought, I can't do this anymore?
Oh yes, there've been times. I mean, I've had my struggles. You know, going to jail, coming out. I mean, I remember when we started Thiz Latin, right when Mac Dre had passed away.
Right.
And I was down. I had just got out of jail. I remember I was like, I damn near cried because I was used to having so much money, and now I gave it all to my lawyers. And I was about to give up the music business, and I remember I got a phone call from Kilo, and they were like, "Hey, we want you to come down, and we want you to make Black and Brown again, but with Thiz Entertainment." And you know, I didn't really believe, I didn't really understand what they were talking about, but they were like, "Hey, look, you're gonna get free studio time. We're gonna give you all the artists. We're gonna give you all the production. Wow. You just put it together, Toes, and you keep all the money. We don't even want nothing. You just do what you did with Black and Brown Entertainment with us, and you keep it all." And I was like, really?
Did you think there's got to be a catch?
There wasn't a catch. Really, really, they wanted my mind and my hustle. And I did that, the first, that album I put together was called 17 with a Thiz. I put 17 with a Thiz together. I went and got a big label deal with City Hall Records.
Okay.
Got us a nice big chunk, a fat check. I kicked my guys back, but I took all that money and I put it into Thiz Latin. And which happened when I started Thiz Latin Records, that's what established GT Digital Distribution, because when I started Thiz Latin, I started forming different divisions all through the United States. I had New York, Bronx, I had Denver, I had Texas, Houston, Seattle, all over the United States. I had Thiz Latin chapters, which in essence helped Thiz Nation, which was the Mac Dre label.
But think about this, Toast. Think about what you just said. I think there's so many gems in all of this, but don't let this little thing you said pass you by. I put the money back in. You didn't go blow it. You had a little fun, I'm sure. You know, you paid everybody, but you put it back in. You invested more in yourself because you knew that's the key to growing.
Yeah, I invested in myself and the artists around me, and we kept pushing. I was the only one in the Bay with seven rap vans the Bay Area. We were smashing to Salt Lake City, you know, Arizona. We were coming down here. We were driving to Texas in the vans. I mean, I put out some big projects during that time, and that helped me establish the GT Digital Distribution, which basically I coached CEOs and made CEOs throughout the United States. And in turn, they brought all their music through those cities to my distribution.
Now, you've been doing music, and I don't want to say Latino music because it's for everybody, but you focused on the culture for a very long time. Now everybody seems to be wanting a piece of that pie. When do you think that changed? Because there was a minute, I mean, even Dr. Dre has said, I can't remember who it was, I don't want to misquote anybody, but they said they wrote a song for him, and he's like, I don't nobody want to hear that Mexican stuff. Like, Dre said that. When did that flip?
Latinos, we've been here for a long time.
But we've been ignored.
But we haven't been ignored. We haven't been given the chance for our voices to be heard. I don't know exactly what that is, but I know being persistent and consistent with myself and pushing all the artists that I got that are Latino, getting in these rooms. It's been a slow process, but right now I'm trying to get into these doors and to be consistent throughout these next few years. But I do see a big push of Latin artists coming through right now, because you see them everywhere. You feel it. They're coming from LA. We're coming from Texas, California. We're coming.
And there's so much in common between everyone. Of course, the dialect can be different and that kind of the slang terms and all that. But in the end, I think there's so much more in common that we should focus on.
We need our Latin Jeezys, our Latin Jay-Zs. We got them. They're there. We just now need to... It's happening. I don't know how it's gonna happen, but I'm trying
already.
My best.
It's happening. I'm gonna make it happen.
Yeah. You know, that's why I said I'm trying to kick in the doors to, you know, just to put it out there, and everybody just gotta just keep working and be consistent. Don't give up.
But where do you think that Bay Area hustle though comes from? Because it's the same thing in Houston. That's like from being in both areas. I know that independent hustle. Where do you think that comes from though?
I mean, for me, it comes from, I was a shoe shiner at 11 years old, so I know what it is. I'm downtown. City with it. San Francisco, we all like go-getters. If you meet a Frisco cat, we know how to adapt to any situation and get into any room.
You don't have a choice.
Yeah, we have
a choice. It's so expensive there, you got to.
Yeah. Tell us, you originally from San Francisco?
San Francisco, yeah.
How do you feel about everybody's, the general perspective now about San Francisco and everybody, how they talk down on your city,
because
dog?
It's homelessness I'm going to be honest with you, it's the gentrification that happened within our city and kicking out a lot of the people and the high rent and everything, it's sad.
What do you expect people to do? Like, people don't understand. Everybody complains about the homeless and they don't have any solutions on what to do.
Yeah, I really don't know what they're going to do. I mean, right now, a lot of people are moving out of San Francisco. They're moving to Houston. They're moving to Phoenix. Yeah. They're moving to Las Vegas.
You can't live with that.
You know,
kind
I miss my city. I love my city. I can always go back and visit it quickly. But, you know, as far as me in the entertainment business, moving was the best thing I could have did.
Ooh.
Because I was able to expand my business. But I always go home.
Now, that's one great thing about Houston, though, because that vibe is the same thing in Houston as it is in the Bay, where it's its own hip-hop scene, and it's been there by himself.
I'm from Texas, and Otto and I always talk about this. Like, when I left Texas, I didn't know that people didn't know about UGK and, you know, Chamillionaire and Paul Wall. I thought everybody knew, and then I left, and they're like, what? Who? But that's the same thing in the Bay. There is a core set of artists. You don't even got to leave your city.
Right.
And you can make a living. Same thing in Texas. Bun and all of them. I mean, of course, they're veteranos now. They're OGs, but they're millionaires living off of just everything they've done for the culture in Texas.
Hey, when I went to Houston, I mean, I got a lot of Texas artists under GT Distribution. I was able to really do very well in Texas. Like you say, you could just live off Texas.
You don't got
to
leave Texas.
You ain't got to leave Texas.
What you think about like somebody like that Mexican OT? And
love Mexican OT. He's hard. He's dope.
He rap, man. He came in here. He also gets the hustle because off air we were talking and then the cameras turn on or the mic turns on. He turns into like a wrestler persona.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like he's totally different, which I appreciated. Who do you want to work with that you haven't worked with now? Who is your, let's say, top three dream artists?
I would say Drake for sure.
Oh, for sure.
Nicki Minaj.
Gosh.
And Cardi B. Definitely Cardi, though. Cardi B.
Man. I appreciate your support for Cardi B. Where does that stem from, brother?
I love it. She's tight. She's tight. She's hard. Yeah. She's tight. Yeah. She knows how to spin it. She knows, even though they write for her, she knows how to put it together.
She does.
And make it look right.
We got a room full of homies in here right now. I feel like we're at a pinnacle of female rap MCs. Do you find it difficult sometimes to rap along to all the female songs that are out?
Not rap with them, but I dig them. I mean, I like watching them and how they move. Okay, you know what I mean?
So it's only me singing WAP word for word. Yeah. Okay.
Maybe it just depends. It just depends on what they're saying. You know what I'm saying?
Also, too.
Yeah, because there's some words that he's like, I'm not saying that.
Yeah.
My bad. No, Cardi B getting me all the time.
I actually just put Cardi B on my IG. She did a dope verse.
No.
Yeah, she was really good.
You got to get her to unblock me.
Okay. Oh, she blocked you?
She blocked me. It's a long story, but I love her.
I'm actually talking to her cousin right now, Neffy, out there in Miami, and I'm looking to sign it.
Six Degrees. I already told Ric Flair. He said, all right, I'm a cough. Like, I need her to unblock me. I'll tell you the story later.
Okay.
It's too long, but I love her. I'm a huge supporter of her.
I could probably just put one
Dana Cortez. And the people tag her, and I'm like, she can't see that because I'm blocked. And they're like, oh, okay.
Along with being, you know, a music artist and a CEO of the distribution company, you're also heavily involved in the cannabis industry as well, too.
That's
cannabis
with
Burner. Yeah, because I've been managing Burner his whole career.
So what's up with that? Like, tell me the story. How'd you get into that? And
he was a rapper first.
He was working at a marijuana store. You know, he was a bud tender, and then he started becoming a rapper. And then he had created the Cookies brand, and Cookies brand blew
which
up,
which is the biggest. Most recognized. I don't even smoke nada, and I know about Cookies.
Yeah, so you know? Cookies came into effect, and you know, partners started coming in. He started putting dispensaries all over the United States. Mm-hmm. So, and he's doing his thing. Burner is like, you know, he's a man of many different hats. We just actually finished our movie Splash City in San Francisco. It's about bipping when you come to the city and you get your stuff stolen. That. You know, it's really bad in the city right now. I mean, all through the Bay, if you come to the city, you gotta watch your windows, man. You gotta watch what you leave in the car. You're better off probably just leaving your windows down and leaving
nothing.
Only thing
I'll leave in there are bills, honey.
Yeah.
I'm broke, so you break into me, like, damn.
Yeah.
Somebody already got them.
That's actually
feel real bad for him.
What we're doing is trying to bring Hollywood, which I call Brown Hollywood, to the Bay Area. So we're bringing the big cameras out, and we got more movies to come.
Hell yeah.
So
I love that, though, that you're investing in that, because we are the largest consumer. Like, Latinos spend more money at the movies. We take our whole families, that kind of thing. You don't see us in movies. You don't hear us on the radio. You hear us here and there, but I'm syndicated. We're all over the country. I'm the only Mexican-American to be syndicated all over the country.
Right.
First female to ever have it done in English. There's some, you know, I don't know why. That's why I kind of asked you why that we get ignored, but now I think people are waking up.
Well, I think, too, what I've noticed from my struggles is you got artists that just do Spanish rap, and it's a lot easier for them to get into those stations.
Yes.
But American Latinos that speak English, it's hard, you know. And I've said this before, like I've been told straight up, like, hey, Toes, the Latin artist is going to be hard to get up in here because we're targeting 14 to 20-year-old black females. That's what our stations, the urban stations, target. And I'm just like, wow. Why can't we do black and brown, 14 like, to 21 exactly. You're like, females?
What do you think?
You know what I'm saying?
It's odd. Like you only make music for Latinos. That's not the case. Good music is good music across.
And if you notice, most of these concerts, you're going to see all Latinos there.
It's all Mexicans.
Go to a concert in Texas.
Oh, man.
Anywhere. Go in Arizona. Go in Salt Lake. But go wherever.
Things are happening. You're everywhere. You know, things are happening. And with people like myself and other people coming in, it's going to be enough where it could be a balance, I would say. I'm not trying to take over, but hey, no. Let's get a balance going on.
Yeah.
I like that.
You know,
a little. We just want a little bit because we give a lot. We support everything. We support country. We support hip hop. We support pop. We need some of that back. We need some of that.
Even in the film industry, I've noticed that we're at the bottom of the barrel.
Literally,
as well.
You know who fights a lot about that? John Leguizamo. We had him on the show, and he was talking about. I think it's 0.5% of Latinos in film and no leads. I mean, you just don't see it. It was so amazing to see America Ferrera in Barbie. And she was just playing a woman, a mother. They didn't say she's Latina. They didn't do it. You just knew it.
Right.
You know what I mean? She wasn't having to play. And there's nothing wrong with being, you know, a homemaker, a maid, a nanny, or whatever. But that's all we saw about our people for a long time. And it was just good to see her be a professional. And it was a very, for me as a woman, I was like, oh, damn. You know, it's a big deal. We need more of that. So thank you for doing what you do. It matters. I hope you understand.
No, I appreciate it. I mean, I'm one of the few, I want to say, CEOs, Latinos right now, and probably the nation that really travel around to all the different cities.
Mm-hmm.
Coming from San Francisco, you know, I've started, you know, of course, you got our California politics been going on with North and South of California. And I've been coming into L.A., making a lot of communication, a lot of good friends.
Yeah, I was going to say, how would we get rid of that?
It's something that's probably never going to get rid of, but it's, you know, better communication is going on and people can start working together without, you know,
having borders on us. But we're fighting over things we're never going to own anyway. You're fighting over a territory that's never yours anyway. It makes no sense.
I think just even talking about it now, it's opening doors, you know.
We just sat down with Little Rob, and we were kind of talking about that. He said, it's funny because now I can move around better than I could before, you know, and it's important. I just want us to
Little Rob
together.
Had a few tough times too, as well. Yeah.
I was with him the last one. I was with him. That's kind of when he disappeared, and now he's back. It's good to see him back.
Yeah, man.
Thank you so much for coming in. I just want to say that I know it's early, but I think this is a great conversation. You gave a lot of gems to the people.
Thank you.
Let's talk about your single, Wake Up.
Wake Up. So I actually signed Little Uno.
We just had a great conversation with Uno.
Yeah, Uno's a real
impressive man.
He talks very well. He's like, got these big words.
He's
like,
man.
No, we got to do like Chicano history. This guy's like, oh my God.
He's really good at putting words together.
Bro, all about that life.
Man, he took me to work out, brought me, we were working out, but it was like we walked to the top of the pyramid, going to the sun, and he starts talking to me and all these. I'm like, bro.
You left all educated.
Yeah, I'm like, I started picking up his words, but not Uno's great guy. So we, that was like, he's one of the artists that we connected, and he just seen me working on Instagram. Was like, man, I'm gonna connect with you, and we got together right like that, and we're about to, you know, right around the same age, been in the game at the same time. So he came with these two albums, El Chicano, El Mexicano, and I'm listening to the album. It took me a minute. It took me about a few months because he really didn't care about music. So for a minute, he was sitting on these albums for 2 years. Long story short, he's like, did you listen to the album? Finally got to the album. I started listening to it. And I was like, oh, I heard this one song. It was called Really Loves You. And I'm like, oh, and I'm listening to it. I'm like, man. So I called him. I said, hey, I like this song. I said, can I get on this song? And I was just playing with him.
Yeah.
And he was like, you want to get on it? And I was like, man, I want to like make it mine. I want to rap on it. And I want to do it. And he was like, go ahead. And I was like, no, I'm just messing with you. He's like, no, I want you to do it. Go ahead and do it. I think you'll do good. I was like, for real? He was like, yeah. He goes, you can have it. I'll take it off the album. I said, all right. I went to the studio. Knocked it out in about 1 hour.
Damn.
Sent it back to him. Man, it sounded good. Yeah, I was like, man, it sounds good. Huh? He's like, yeah, it sounds good. He's like, let's do the video. I said, come on, let's do the video. I said, you know what? We'll get Jenny 6ix9ine on the video. Boom, I called up Jenny. I sent her the song, and she liked it. And then we ended up doing the video in L.A. and in Boyle Heights. And
wow.
the video ended up having all kind of like controversy. Yeah. People were talking about it, all kind of stuff. I was like, man, what are they talking about?
But that's what you want to.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what? I mean, you get a buzz going.
I didn't even organize the video. The video promoter organized
it. Not even me. Don't come to me. What, you said you're one of the few moving around. Do you know, do you talk to Jimmy Omidlid?
I just IG'd him on message and he just hit me back and told him I want to connect with him. Yep.
You guys need to do some stuff together. You know, his artists are popping that whole, you know, corrido, tumbados, that whole sound. What do you think about that?
I mean, love it. I just signed Jimmy Leon. He's a new artist coming out.
Okay.
You know, he's dope out of Albuquerque.
Okay.
He's really good. I got Gabriela. Like I said, she's top on the Tejano charts right now. So I'm getting into that world as well. So that's why I'm tapping in with Jimmy and hopefully I get to meet him soon.
That world wouldn't exist without this world.
Correct.
You know, I was on a panel one time with Jimmy way back during COVID. What was that little app, the club app, Clubhouse app? Oh. And he talked about MC Magic. He said, you know, that guy broke a lot of ground, and for a long time, people were making fun of him. And he's like, who's laughing now?
Man, MC Magic.
You know,
Magic,
I mean, he's the.
Gee, I love that.
Hey, I just played basketball with him yesterday.
Did you really?
I did. He's
bro. Oh, he can ball.
You want to talk about that toes? It's on the internet.
I've seen it, bro.
We've seen it, toes. Come on, bro.
No, you're right. There's Baby Bash that can ball, right?
Basketball.
Basketball.
I'm here to defend Magic's honor right now because he did get you, dog.
He got me, man.
I saw the clip, though.
That was good.
But I was quick.
Me and Bash, but go ahead.
No. So wait. So Magic can't ball.
No, he keeps good. No,
yeah. Magic.
This guy, we're eating lunch yesterday. He's like, yeah, I get up every morning and I run 2 miles with my dogs. And I'm like, damn, I wish I could do that. I was like, hey, well, let's go play some basketball. Actually, he got me like, I need to work out because I've been off for like 6 months.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like, man, so I went to the court.
Were you actually huffing and puffing?
I was huffing and puffing. But you know what? I'm so happy I got back out there because, you know, when you get that first real sweat and you're like, I got to get back now.
Yes.
Ooh. Today, I'm on my get back. I'm back on.
Hell yeah.
Next time I come to Phoenix, I'm playing MC Magic in a real game one-on-one.
MC Magic.
Yeah.
He's good. He just like plays like a prison style basketball game. It's crazy.
Yeah.
But also, I did not think we were going to talk about the first sweat. I'm with you, brother. I got that yesterday myself too.
Yeah, that first sweat. Yeah. So and Magic and Uno actually got that out of me. Like I was able to break it and did a good hard sweat and got everything going. So now I feel like, okay, I got to stay back on and get my push-ups on. You know,
hell yeah. I'm on a weight loss journey. Do you want to do a weight loss journey together?
Yeah, we can do it. I'm on fasting right now till 1 o'clock.
Okay, you know, I'm with it. I'll join you. So next coffee. Time, yeah. Next time we collide,
Toes
we should be
is like, how close are you trying to get to
eat
me?
Eat carrots and celery in the morning. It changes your.
All right.
If you eat carrots and celery in the morning, that changes your life.
That's a big deal.
Oh my
the
God.
First thing you put in your body is going to dictate the rest of your day.
Yes.
Mine is cream with a little bit of coffee. I don't know how that's going to go.
No, but coffee's good for you.
Yeah,
coffee's
it is good for you.
Not the way she makes it.
Vegetables. I mean, raw vegetables in the morning.
Protein,
like
raw vegetables, put that in your body, put the hot Cheetos down. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Put the hot Cheetos down.
Definitely.
All right.
So the rest of my week. So tonight I'm leaving to LA. We got I manage Michael Corleone Blanco, which is Griselda Blanco's son.
Oh, yeah.
And so he's got an interview with Vlad TV Friday.
Man, talk
so
about him right
that.
Now going
when
through
Corleone,
with that whole Griselda thing.
Yeah, so
man.
We just finished the book, My Mother the Godmother, which is gonna be it's already out on Amazon. And you know,
bring him in, we'll talk about it, we'll give some books away for real.
Well, definitely we could schedule that, make
Let's
that happen ASAP. So he's right now we're trying to make the new Netflix series of My Mother the Godmother, basically explaining him growing up as the son
of
Griselda. But there's so much
he's
more.
In there.
There's so much more to the universe of the Blancos that meets that. I can't say it, but man, I'm telling you right now, there is some stories.
Man.
Way more than what. And there's going to be the real truth of Griselda. There's a lot of stuff out there that is not true.
So you're saying the Netflix is kind
of. No, a lot of it's true. No, most of it, but there's
they
some
did a great
key
job.
Moments.
Yeah, but he's the son. He was there. He lived it. It's a whole different.
Man, that's the fact
different.
That you just.
And they don't talk about the brothers as much.
Oh.
You know, the brothers were really the enforcers.
Active,
they
right?
don't. They there's a lot that they.
He's
did
the only living
the
brother, right? He's the only living.
He's
child.
The last living child. He's the last living prince of the Narcos.
Damn, man.
You use the term universe. It made me think of like a Marvel movie.
Coming soon.
Yeah.
Coming soon.
So like I was saying, I'm a man of all hats. You know, I manage, you know, a few artists or reality TV, you know, Michael Corleone and Burner and Gabriela as my artist. And then, you know, we have the digital distribution company, which is GT Digital Distribution. And then I have two record labels, Black and Brown Entertainment out the Bay Area and Thiz Latin Records. So pushing all this stuff in the entertainment space. I made this
plus your own career,
plus my own. I made this wake up record. I'm not rapping all the time. I do strategical songs. Meaning,
yeah.
When I come on, I want it to be strong. The last one I did was with Ronnie Spencer out of H-Town. That thing is going good in my world. But this next one, Wake Up, it's got a feel good. We got Mary Wells on the hook. It got the oldies on there.
That's what I love, and
I love that. That's when she was singing. I'm like, man, you know. And actually, the song did what it did. It took off on its own, and it's doing very well. People, I just actually did the analytics yesterday, and numbers are going up. I'm very happy that it's doing well. But also, I'm putting down a demonstration for all my GT artists to know how to get down, get behind your record, move around, ask questions, try to how you get into stations, how do you get into these podcasts. Keep pushing your record. I think it's good to get behind a record for at least 9 months, single.
It's also good to expose yourself.
Because the music cycles are so quick right now. I've seen so many artists that have hit records that they move on from a too quick.
You don't even have time to let it breathe and marinate and take it in. You gotta listen to it.
That's why I'm showing everybody, keep it in their face. Yeah, you might be like, you gotta keep it in their face, and then get to the next one. You know.
Also, things like this, like you said, getting into different spaces, you're exposing your artist and yourself to different people.
Right.
Of course, you got your fans and stuff, but you want to grow that. You know, you want to water that plant so that everybody or people that might not know about you, the 30-year longevity, get to know you, and then you get new fans that way.
Right.
Bring them into the
movement. Right now, it looks like podcasting is big right now. It's blowing a lot of people up. You got to get out to them podcasts and talk to people. They got different fans, different areas, different markets. It's a good way to get yourself out there. I asked
permission. Can we put you on the podcast? He's like, hell yeah.
Yeah, put me on the podcast, man. You know, and you get used to it because some people, you know, you get better at talking, you get more comfortable. You know, some people.
I like real stuff, though. I like that you came in here and we just started vibing. I don't like things to be contrived. I will always ask your permission about certain things, but in the end, I feel like that's just not the way to grow your fan base. It's a good vibe. It's not even an interview. It's more of a conversation. Exactly. I feel like that's what we had today.
Right. No, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I feel like I had a breakthrough. Man, this was great, guys.
Keep pushing. Hey, Latinos, man, keep pushing, man. Don't give up on yourself.
Put the Cheetos down. Carrots and celery. That's what we learned today.
Hey,
let's go.
Shine.